cut out all the non-audio part. We have been studying and looking at making a choice. How do you choose? Oh, my goodness. My goodness gracious. I do apologize for being a half hour with no audio. And I bet that there have been multiple people trying to tell me, yo, you don't have your audio. Oh, boy. Okay, so. Here we go. So, here's, I'm going to just quickly recap. This is distracting. We are in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. How to make a choice. How to decide. And so I'm going to briefly go over what we went over, and then when I do the video, I'll actually post this video rather than the one that's all messed up. Picking up in verse 12 of chapter 6. Now it came to pass in those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued at night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostles. So the first part of our lesson is making a choice. How did Jesus decide who his disciples would be? And how do we make decisions? How do we choose as we go through our daily life in a manner that we will be choosing and acting in a way that is in accordance with the will of God? Beginning in verse 12. It came to pass in those days, he went out to a mountain. The first thing that Jesus did when he needed to decide who his apostles would be is he got alone. In other words, he went to a place that was quiet, where his mind could be quieted. So, you need to make a decision? Get quiet. And why do you want to get quiet? He went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. So we need to make a decision, pray. In fact, Paul says that we should pray without ceasing. Does that mean that all of our prayers need to be all long and flowery and all of those things? Absolutely not. I frequently believe in sending up, you know, those rapid prayers. Lord, which direction do I need to go? I pray about things such as which off-ramps to use to get off the freeway. Why? Because God knows stuff that we don't. Duh, he's God. And so, Jesus got alone. He got quiet. He prayed. Watch this. And he continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus did not stop praying until he had the answer that he needed. He did not stop praying. Prayer is a two-way conversation. It's a conversation between man and God. Prayer is not going to God with a laundry list of the stuff that you need and want. Prayer is going to God to find out what his heart is and to speak his heart into the reality of our world. Prayer is communication. It's talking to God. By the way, prayer is also being quiet, listening for God, waiting for God's answer. Prayer is sometimes prophetic, knowing God's will and speaking God's will back to him such that that will manifests here on earth. That's prayer. So how you make a decision? Get quiet. Talk to God. Persist in talking with God. Notice it says to God. It doesn't say he prayed at God. He continued all night in prayer to God. He continued the conversation until he received the answer. Do not leave your prayer closet before you've heard from God. The next step in deciding and in decisions is, what do you do once you got an answer? Verse 13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them, he chose 12 whom he named apostles. So, you pray, you get an answer, you move. Move forward when you get the answer at the proper time for the answer. When God answers, he's going to answer when, where, and how. Or he'll answer no. And it is important that when we receive God's answer, that we move forward in obedience to that answer. Notice that Jesus prayed all night, and when it was day, he called his disciples. He immediately moved forward based on the response that he had gotten from the Father in the night. And it is important that we do that. Why? Because the enemy has some weapons that he can use against us. He can use procrastination against us. We could delay until we lose the window of opportunity. We could doubt, did God really say this to me? At which point the enemy can come in and twist the words of God, just like he did in the garden with the man and the woman. And we can fear. If we think too long about what God has told us to do, especially if God has told us to do something that is like super stupendously big and awesome, we can become afraid. And when that happens, we don't move. And when we don't move, we lose the opportunity that God has put before us. So that's how you make a decision. That's part one of this message. How to choose. How to make a decision. And let me recap it. Get alone. Pray. Don't stop praying till you hear from God. When you hear from God, move. So the second part of this passage is about being called. Who does Jesus call? And what are the stages of that calling? So, let's look at that. Picking up in verse 14. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them, and he stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples. And a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon came near him, and he healed them of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. So the stages of calling, and here the stages are actually kind of in reverse order in our passage. So I'm going to use like the funnel analogy, where you have a funnel that has a big wide opening and it narrows down to that which is going to eventually end up in the container. And so the stages of calling, the multitudes, I call this stage interest stage. These are people who have heard something about Jesus, maybe from somebody else. Think like John the Baptist disciples. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were disciples of John the Baptist. One day they were down by the river with John the Baptist, and John looks up and he sees his cousin Jesus. coming down to the river. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." At this point, Peter, James, John, and Andrew may or may not know anything about this Jesus dude. But at John's word, they become interested. The same is true of the multitude who came from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, from Jerusalem and Judea. These are people who have heard things that are going on in Galilee and out in the wilderness, and they are interested, so they come out, the multitude. Next phase are what I call, what here is called the crowd, and I call them followers. These are people who have become a little bit more interested than just kind of showing up. And maybe they're following a little bit. Maybe they're following lightweight. You know, there are two kinds of followers of Jesus. And I like to use the example of reading the Bible and going to church. Follower one reads the Bible, and they're not reading the Bible to see what pleases God. They're reading the Bible to see how far they can go before God says no. They read the Bible to see what they can get away with. These are also kind of the same group of people that show up for worship at Christmas, at Easter, at weddings, and at funerals. You know, Dr. Walkenmeyer calls these people CEOs, Christmas, Easter onlys. They're followers, but they're not disciplined. And when the going gets tough, they're going to be the first to get going. Let's be honest. And then there's the disciples. These are people who have moved beyond simply following when it's convenient. And they moved on to beginning to discipline themselves in a manner and in a way where they are more and more closely resembling Jesus in terms of his love, his attitudes. And they're becoming more and more attuned to the will of the Father. These are people who don't just pray when things are going wrong. They pray when things are going right. These are people who don't just read the Bible to see how much they can get away with, but they read the Bible to see how close they can come to the will of the Father. These are people who worship not because it's something that they have to do, but it's something that they get to do. And these are disciples. And then the last phase are the apostles. Now, apostle is Greek. It means sent. Here's the thing. You can't really truly be sent until you've been called. Watch this. And Jesus called his disciples. Notice he did not call the multitude. He did not call the crowd. He called the disciples. And my guess is that even among the disciples, there were probably disciples that were at different phases along the way, because there's a crowd of disciples. But he calls his disciples together, and out of the disciples, Jesus selects and calls out 12, whom are called apostles. And what does apostle mean? Apostle simply means sent. It means that you've reached the point in walking with Christ enough, that you have become enough like him, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit is comfortable with sending you out. It doesn't mean you're perfect. I mean, we're going to look at who Jesus called. And that's the third part of our message is, who gets called? It doesn't mean you're perfect. But it means that you are daily growing in the disciplines that cause you to be more Christ-like in your speech, your thoughts, and your actions. So the apostles. So who does Jesus call? Well, let's look at the 12 names that are mentioned here. And in the other Gospels, you get a little bit more background on each of these persons and how they were called and all that stuff. I'm not going to go through all of that in this message. But Jesus called for the 12 an interesting group. So Simon, whom he called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. So first thing that we can see is Jesus called individuals. Individuals. James and John. James and John were individuals, but they were also brothers. So the first group that we see that Jesus called is, Jesus doesn't call groups. He calls individuals. But the second thing we notice is, with these first four disciples, there are two groups of brothers. So often Jesus will call families. He will call one person in the family, and that person will in turn introduce other members of the family to Jesus, and so on and so on and so on. And so Jesus will call families. Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot. So, we see that Jesus calls individuals. We see that Jesus calls people who need more concrete evidence. Thomas, when we get to the end of the gospel, and we get to one of the appearances of Christ at the resurrection, Thomas is not going to be there for the first appearance. And the disciples are going to go, dude, we saw Jesus, he rose. And Thomas is going to say, unless I stick my fingers in the wounds in his hands and my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. People call Thomas Doubting Thomas. Like, you know, it was a bad thing that he doubted. But God, interestingly enough, never rebukes Thomas for requiring proof. What he does say is Thomas, you needed proof. Blessed are those who will believe without needing the extra proof. God does not have a problem with proving himself. So, Jesus called people who needed to be shown. That's fine. Jesus called backstabbers. Judas Iscariot, who would become the traitor. Jesus knew when he called Judas what Judas was going to do. Why would Jesus call a backstabber? Why would Jesus call somebody that he knew was going to fail? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe should have eternal life. Jesus loved Judas Iscariot. Just as much as Jesus loved Peter, who denied him three times. There was no less love for Judas or for Peter than there was for John, of whom it was written that he laid on the bosom of Jesus. You know, John is called the beloved disciple. And yet Jesus still loved the one who betrayed him. So Jesus called a betrayer. Jesus called a denier in Peter. Jesus called, and I'm going to use the term because it's what folks know and understand, the doubter in Thomas. Jesus called a government agent, Matthew, the tax collector. Jesus called private business owners, Peter and Andrew, James and John. They were partners in a fishing business. They were business owners. Jesus called what would be called a protester today. Simon the Zealot, he was a protester. He was into violent protests to overthrow the Roman occupation. And yet Jesus called him. Jesus called him. Yeah. Yeah. These are the people that Jesus called. Jesus called the wealthy. Matthew, he was a wealthy tax collector. Jesus called the poor. You know, one could argue that Peter, James, and John, even though they were business owners compared to somebody like Matthew, they were poor. Who does Jesus call? The world. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And why does Jesus call? First off, he calls so that we might be close to him. Secondly, he calls so that we might be sent. Remember, apostles mean sent. These were 12 men who were specifically sent out. Now, Jesus does send out other groups. He sends out a group of 70, two by two. 35 missionary groups, two by two. So who does Jesus call? Jesus calls everybody. Who gets chosen? Well, if God had made us so we would be robots, everybody would be chosen. But notice that there were different groups of people. The multitude, the crowd, the disciples, and now the apostles. And what's the difference between the various groups? Just how closely they walked with the Master. I want to close with the lyrics to a song. In my original opening, I opened with these lyrics, but my audio was off. And this is a song by the Booth Brothers. And it so fits this passage of Scripture. The song is called, He Chose Me. He Chose Me by the Booth Brothers. And it goes like this. There were many others that he might have chosen to follow him. Others with learning and greater distinction to follow him. Men with authority and forceful ability who know how to speak and be heard. I don't know exactly why I'm here at all, but today I follow my Lord. It was business as usual for me till I heard him say, follow me. I left all behind that day when Jesus said, follow me. I emptied myself of my old life completely with no thought that this could be wrong. As long as I follow the steps of the Master, I know I'm where I belong. For he chose me, he chose me. I could not say no when he said, follow me and you'll be a fisher of men. And from now on, I will not look back on the things left behind. He chose me to follow him. No, I will not look back on the things left behind. He chose me to follow him. He chose me. He chose you to follow him. To follow him. He didn't choose you randomly. He didn't choose you haphazardly. He chose you after talking to the Father. And so now the only question that remains is, will you follow him? Will you follow him? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. And we ask, Almighty God, that we'd have hearing ears, an open heart, and ready hands to follow you. To follow you. Father God, today I pray for those who are just now hearing the call to follow. And I ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, that the feet would start moving, that the heart would start pounding, and that the mind would start flowing with how to follow him. Father God, help us to keep in mind how to make good decisions, that we might follow you. Thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, for this time in your word. Amen and amen. Wow. Following. Today has been an awesome day, and for those of you that have been on the live stream, I am sorry about the first half hour missing sound. When I repost the re-recording, I will actually cut all of that out. So you will get just the teaching. Whew! It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And God's people said, amen and amen. I'd like to ask you to do something for me. If you could like this video on Facebook and share this video on Facebook. And then when this shows up on the YouTube, like and share there. Because this gets the message of God's love and grace out to more and more people. It feeds the algorithm. It feeds the algorithm. And so if you would do that, that gets the message out. We would also love to hear from you. And our contact information is up on the screen. And we are in a state of transition with our contact information. We actually do have a new domain for the Balance Point Christian Communities. And the new domain is Balance Point LA. Balance Point LA, all one word. And that stands for BalancePointLosAngeles.org. BalancePointLA.org. If you use that address, you will get to the current website. And for the time being, we have redirects set up so you can get to our old website. But if you need to contact us until we get all the redirects all set up and all the emails moved over, you can still email us at staff@balance-point.org. You can contact us through our Facebook page. Just search on Facebook for Balance Point Christian Communities. You can contact us through YouTube. Our YouTube page is youtube.com/user/balancepointchurch. That also happens to be our Gmail address, balancepointchurch@gmail. We love hearing what God is doing through you and through Balance Point. And we would truly love to hear from you. You can come to our ministry center, and this is so cool. I am so happy about this. Our ministry center is up on our screen, balancepointla.org. You can contact us for prayer@balancepoint, and eventually that will be prayer@balancepointla.org. You can contact us, staff@balancepoint.org, and eventually that will be balancepointla.org. And eventually we will have our virtual sanctuary back up and running. We do not have that up and running quite yet. But soon that will be, and we look forward to that. And now prepare to receive the blessing. And now may you be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May He guide you in your choices that you make throughout this week. And may He choose you to be sent. And may you choose to be disciplined and follow in the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.